Please join me as we open up our hearts to God's holy word in prayer. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your holy word. Lord, I do pray that you would teach us according to your word, according to your will for our lives. Lord, I pray that you would continue to knit us together as a congregation as only you can. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus and all of God's people said. Today, we continue our series on hospitality, doing what we can to be and become the hands and feet of Christ. We started off this series in talking in a way and describing this in a way of revealing what God desires for every single person who comes into the doors of Hope Lutheran Church. And so we changed it in the titles to what we desire too, because what God desires for people to experience should also be our desire, correct? Amen? And so we started off that we want you to experience the love of Jesus Christ. We looked at that we love others because Christ first loved us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we understand that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. There was nothing we could do to save ourselves. And God, in his infinite mercy, sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our once and for all sacrifice. And out of that assurance of faith, God has called us to serve in a way that honors him, to serve as an act of worship, to serve as a response of faith, motivated by love for what Christ has done for us. We also reminded ourselves because of the text, the grammatical aspect of Colossians chapter 3, that we have a responsibility to allow God to transform us, that we in a mysterious way are in cooperation in the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit to walk in the gifts of the Spirit in the freedom of Christ Jesus, but we do so allowing our attitudes to become more selfless, allowing ourselves to embrace reconciliation, allowing ourselves to forgive others just as Christ has forgiven us. We closed in that service by saying that corporate worship was scriptural and extremely important. It's where God kind of equips us and also sends us out into the world. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how that happens in the life of the congregation today. Ben did a fabulous job last week. If you didn't hear that sermon, I just encourage you so much to check that out. He encouraged us to live a life of descent rather than a life of ascent. A life of humility versus a life of pride, saying, yeah, I don't need anybody. I don't really need to be a part of this congregation. I can kind of show up and that's okay. And I appreciated how Pastor Ben put it. He reminds us also that it's hard sometimes, or it's maybe not in the forefront of our mind. As we come to church, do we think about it from a visitor's perspective? I love the quote, and I'd like to read that quote again for you that he read and that he shared with us from Thomas Rainer. And it says this: most churches perceive they are a friendly church because the members are friendly to one another, but they don't think about walking in the shoes of first-time guests. They don't look at their facilities or their friendliness from a guest perspective. And so he encouraged us to do that, and he closed by showing us an incredibly powerful video of a woman who just went through an extremely traumatic event. She watched her husband and her only son burned alive in front of her in Africa. Some of this was due to her faith. And as they brought them together, and as the policeman who actually committed this atrocious act began to recount this act in a heart of reconciliation to bring justice to a community, as the policeman described this act, the judge was moved with compassion, and he looked at the woman whose husband and son was there no more, and looked at that woman and asked, "What would you have me do to this man?" Her answer is not one we would normally expect, was it, if you were here? Her answer was this: "I would have him come over to my house on Sunday. I would have this man come over so that I can cook for him, because I have a lot of love to give and no one to share it with." What an extraordinary response to such a tragic event. But this is the selfless love of Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's not a love that's part of our sinful nature. It's not a love that's really easy for us. It is a love that is simple as we read it in God's word. But I'm telling you, because of our flesh and our sinful nature, it's not easy to walk in it, is it? And so today we continue by asking what God desires too, that we want to invite you to make a difference with us. That we want all those who come into the doors of Hope Lutheran Church to make a difference with us. And so if you would, and if you're able, please stand at the reading of God's holy word. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12 and also Hebrews chapter 10, and I will just read through them simultaneously. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, and also Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Reading in Christ's name. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. And let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. Lord, I thank you so much for these texts, and I thank you for how you are working in us that which is your will. Lord, I pray that every single word that proceeds from my mouth is from you in the ministry and power of your Holy Spirit and not from myself. Jesus, I pray that you would receive all of the glory, honor, and praise. I pray this in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, you may be seated. So we kind of broke this down to the what, the why, and the where. And so we begin with the what. What are we discussing? What is it that we want to examine here today? And it's that we are one body with many gifts. As our text says, we are one body with many gifts. As I was thinking or considering about going to seminary, one of the gentlemen that I met with, he encouraged me in a way that I would have never really thought on my own. And so as I was wrestling with this, I was coming out of an industry that I had worked really hard to be good at. And I was thankful to be a part of that. And it was a blessing. But I was entering into something I knew nothing about. I was entering into a calling to be a pastor. And I, as a media director and as someone, you know, in the recording and audio field, I worked behind a lot of pastors. I saw some really good ones and some really bad ones. And so maybe that was a good training ground for me. I guess I'm not sure. But as I sat down with this gentleman, he said something, and as I talked through the whole situation, he goes, you know, the one thing that you're not really examining here is what you bring to the table. And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, do you realize that as you're going in at 40 years old into seminary, that you might have something that the seminary students need that's a part of the gift God gave you? And I just looked at him with this blank stare going, no. And he goes, you mean go to seminary for what God wants to do through me in the lives of these seminarians? He goes, yes. And I think we miss that. As we think that we're part of the body of Christ, we kind of think that, well, I don't really have any gifts. I don't really have any talents. But actually, each one of you do. You are unique in your own person. It's like a fingerprint. You have a gift that is unique to you and to you alone. And believe it or not, in the midst of that diversity of different people and different cultures and different backgrounds, that's when the body of Christ is made strong. Thank God that our body isn't all the kidney. Thank God it's not all the large intestine. I'm kind of glad I got a stomach and a throat, you know? Probably too glad about that sometimes. But if we didn't have all of the intricate parts of how God designed the body wouldn't function properly, right? And we've experienced that sometimes when we go to the doctor. Maybe part of our body isn't functioning properly. But as God has brought you to this congregation, each one of you has something to contribute as the body of Christ. You have something unique that's only gifted to you. And I don't know if you, on your bulletin, there's on the back sheet, there's a list of practical things that you can do. And one of them says, write three things down that you like to do. What are three things that you love to do? And then begin to pray, God, how can I use that in this congregation? God, how can I use this in my small group? How can I use this in the neighborhood I live in? How can I use this in the job that I work at? How can I use these gifts to serve and be and become the hands and feet of Jesus? Now, I'm going to ask you to do a little studying. I'm going to read this text, and I'm going to have a time where you actually can discuss among yourselves a question I'm going to ask you. And so I know that kind of gets outside of our comfort zone sometimes. It's like, oh, I've got to talk to a stranger. Yes, you do. Talk to your neighbor and get together. And this is, I'll read the question after I read the text. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. For as in one body, we are many members, and the members do not have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Amen? If prophecy, then in proportion to your faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So Paul gives seven gifts listed here. This is not a comprehensive list. But the point is, we all have different gifts. Right? Now, the word exhortation means somebody who would console somebody in a time of difficulty. Not everybody can do that. Have you ever met someone who's really bad at that? Ah, just rub some dirt on it and get over it, you know? That doesn't help sometimes, you know? Sometimes you need a tender, gentle heart to walk with you through that. Amen? And so that's what that word exhortation means. But there's three gifts in this list of seven that everyone is called to be a part of. So I want you to get together with your neighbors, and out of those seven gifts, as the text is going to be put up on the screen, there's pew Bibles in front of you underneath, using the ESV text and using the words listed in this translation, just out of consistency, find the three gifts that all of us are called to participate in. And so we'll go ahead and talk among yourselves. Yes, you can talk in church. So go ahead. I'm giving you permission. Talk with your neighbor. Find the three gifts that all of us are called to walk in. If you see someone alone, go grab them. Go pull them over to your group. So don't let anyone just be alone in this conversation. I'm going to give you one more minute. The three gifts that all of us are called to in this list in the book of Romans. All right, here we go. So out of those seven gifts, prophecy was the first. That's the correct interpretation of God's holy word and applying it to any given situation. Not everyone has that gift, right? We have the word of God, but not all of us have the gift of prophecy. And so we continue to look through that list. And we look at teaching, we know because of what James says, not all of you should be teachers, right? So what are the three? Someone give me one of them. What are the three that all of us are called to? Give me one. Service, yes. You're on notice. Now all of you are on notice for this. Service, we're to serve, we're called to be and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is worthy, amen? And we're going to talk about that. And so I kind of gave you the answer to the last point. We do this because Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, has paid the full penalty of our sin. He has freed us from the consequences of the law, and we have been freed in Christ because, help me out, when the Son sets you free, you are in that freedom as an act of worship, as a response of faith motivated by love, we serve. Not because we have to, but because we get to, and hopefully because we want to. What's another one? Service one. Giving, excellent. Now, I had someone come up to me last week. It's like, how come you don't ask for money for projects anymore? I'm doing that right now. We're behind in budget. I know that we don't have the offering envelopes, but I know that our office will do everything we can to make sure you get credit for that. Use a personal check, put it in an envelope, put your name on it, and maybe your address, and turn it in. But we're substantially behind budget. And so you have not because you ask not, right? I'm asking. We're all called to give. We're all called to be cheerful givers. What's the third one? What's the last one? Acts of mercy. Acts of mercy. Now, that's not always easy, is it? All three of those require a humility and a selflessness that Ben described last week. That life of descent, that Jesus in us increases and we decrease. And so how and where, and leads us right into the next point, where are these carried out? Where do we use these gifts? And the short answer is really everywhere. But our text kind of gives this order of how it kind of comes out. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 say this. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So God wants to knit this congregation in a way that only he can, but he can't do it if you're not here. So church attendance, as we talked about in the first service, is scriptural and important. It's where we hear the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. We're assured of salvation in Christ Jesus because of what he has done. So we preach for evangelism, for those to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but we also preach to move into discipleship, to applying the gospel to your life and being the hands and feet of Jesus through evangelism, through service, through acts of mercy, through giving. But where this really is fleshed out, I think in an important way, and the elders have always stressed to Pastor Ben and I that this is an important part of our congregational life, is small groups. And so many of you might not be in a small group. If you're not, I encourage you to please get in one. Now, I'm just saying, and Ben encouraged me to do this. I wasn't going to do it, but my small group, I love my small group. And I love those in my small group. And in small groups, there's four really healthy characteristics of small groups. And you can't necessarily have these all the time in a congregation. This is why small groups are so important. Those healthy four healthy characteristics are going to be put on the screen here. We're going to talk through these. Equipping, encouraging, serving, and sending. Equipping, encouraging, serving, and sending. So we start with the Word of God. Amen? That's where it always starts. And so we study the Word of God in a way that we are convicted, the way that we are challenged, but in a way that also encourages us and roots us in the assurance of faith in Christ Jesus. So studying the Word of God is really, really important. I really encourage you, it's okay to use someone else's book sometimes, and maybe even someone else's DVD series, but I do encourage you sometimes to kind of put that aside and let the Word of God speak to you in an inductive way. If you don't know what that means, call me. I'd love to talk to you about it. Studying God's word and being able to mine the text for yourself is really important. The goal of Ephesians chapter 4 is to have this journey together as a congregation toward unity and spiritual maturity. And part of that spiritual maturity is to be able to discern and decipher the truth of God's word on our own, to become self-feeding Christians. And this can happen in the congregation, and it should encourage us, but I'm telling you, it's really fleshed out. It really takes root in the life of a small group. Encouraging, bearing one another's burdens, fulfilling the law of Christ, as it says in Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2. Now, Galatians 6, 1 and 2 has kind of a two-point reality there. There's an accountability. If someone falls into sin, let you who are more spiritual or more mature restore that person in a spirit of gentleness. That happens in small groups. I love my small group because I'm not Pastor Brian in that small group. I'm just Brian. And they have no problem treating me that way, and I love that. Now, as a pastor, I also have three people who hold me accountable to the office that God has called me to. And every time I speak to that person who holds me accountable, he asks me two questions. Have you just lied to me or have you withheld anything from me? Accountability is a beautiful thing. It's how we grow in the Lord. Is it scary sometimes? It is. Is it unnerving? It is. But it's biblical. It's absolutely biblical. Equipping, encouraging, bearing one another's burdens. Man, if you're going through a difficult time, just knowing someone's got your back in prayer, knowing someone is coming alongside of you during that difficult time is such a blessing, isn't it? Equipping, encouraging, serving. We serve together. So one of the ways that we serve together is we do the Wednesday night meal, and it's fun. We have a great time doing it. And it's just a way that God knits us together. Also, for Christmas, we decided as a small group to give to World Vision, that we gave livestock to families in need in third world countries, but we also gave a chunk of money to women who have been pulled out of the sex industry, out of that slavery industry, and brought into freedom through Christian ministry. And we did that as a selfless act of worship for our small group. Serving, being the hands and feet of Jesus, exactly like our text in Romans says. The many parts of the body functioning together, but also sending. And this is kind of a small thing, and I'm going to give an example. And I guess, Andrew, I didn't ask you, but I'm going to just use a situation. And it's not embarrassing because I needed this too. Sometimes we just need help with homework, right? And one of our small group is a math teacher, and it was such a blessing to him and to my family that as part of our small group, she equipped him so that he could go to school, do his work, and do his best. What a wonderful thing to have, this community that's knit together in Christ, because quite frankly, we're called to be salt and light in our own communities. And I'm telling you, when we leave our small group, we feel that. Because if we had a hard week, or if Connie had a hard week at work, she knows that we all just prayed for her and are going to lift her up in prayer throughout the whole week, or anybody else in our small group. We've also made a covenant so that we can become vulnerable with each other, that what we talk about in small group stays in small group. And so we share some vulnerable things. Struggles in our marriages, struggles in our homes. And this is where God knits us together in a beautiful way. And that can't always happen in the life of the congregation. But small groups is a very integral part of this. Equipping, encouraging, serving, and sending. If you're not part of a small group, I am begging you, please, please become a part of a small group. You will be blessed. I guarantee it. The final thing, and this is the ultimate Sunday school answer, and I want you guys to answer with a loud voice. I know you know the answer. Why do we do this? We do it for? Amen. He is worthy, is he not? And I love in chapter 10 in Hebrews, and in our text, it says this earlier in verse 10. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. The New Living Translation states it this way, and I really love how they word it. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And this reminds us that when the Son sets you free, you are. That Jesus, when he said on the cross, it is finished, it is completed, it is paid in full, that he meant it, and we take him at his word. And even though we can't earn that gift, we don't deserve that gift. That we're dead in our trespasses and sins, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2. But it also continues that there's this momentum to the transforming power of salvation. You are placed in a right standing with God as a gift, not an act of works, so that no one may boast. We are saved by grace through faith alone. Can everybody say amen? But verse 10 is attached to that. For the good works that God has prepared beforehand. If it just becomes a mental pursuit and we never move past that, that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is being this wonderful funnel that God lovingly points us in the direction he wants us to, so that his love, mercy, and grace can flow in and through our lives. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Because of what Christ has done, because Jesus is worthy. Amen? And so if you have some time today, look at the back of your bulletin and look at these practical ways, because the one thing that this does is it equips us for evangelism and discipleship. As we are part of a small group, we are discipled in the Word of God. We are encouraged to be salt and light in our own community, to not be afraid. You know, we moved recently and we went to our neighbor and we gave them cookies and we've kind of started developing a relationship. And I love this because he now snowplows the front of my driveway. Thank you, Jesus. Because, you know, you know how the snow plows go by and everything that's like icy and heavy is at the end of the driveway, right? Well, we still do the shovel thing. And he knows that. And as he's doing his, he comes over and always gets the end of my driveway after the snow plow goes. You build relationships with your neighbors. You build relationship with those around you. You build relationships with those you work with, maybe even those you don't like. You live a life of descent, a selfless, humble life, walking in a manner worthy of the salvation of Jesus Christ, eager to maintain the unity of spirit and the bond of peace, encouraging one another to love and good works as we see the day drawing near. And we don't do this because we have to, people. Why do we do it? We do it because we, yeah, amen. And so may we do that. May we become and be the hands and feet of Jesus, and may we always do it as an act of worship to a Savior who has paid it all. Lord, I thank you for this text, and I thank you for this encouragement that you have given us through your holy word. Lord, I do pray that if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that isn't part of a small group, that you would encourage them to be in a small group. Lord, maybe there's some leaders here that are frustrated with their small group. Man, I pray that you would encourage them and put life and a spark back in their heart. And Lord, may those four healthy biblical characteristics exist within the life of our small group, that equipping, that encouraging, the serving and the sending. And so Lord, empower us to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, to love God, to love people, and to make disciples for Jesus Christ, as our mission statement says. And may we always do this because you are worthy. May you birth in our heart a passion for this, a desire for this, and may it all be for the glory of your kingdom, which the gates of hell will not prevail. And I say this and I pray this in Christ's precious name, and all of God's people said, amen.